dark and drear my nights and days. If Jesus' face I did not see to brighten all earth's weary ways, I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love eternal, changeless, pure, overshadowed by his mighty love.
Amen, Mrs. Garner. And listen, folks, that was a special song singing about the Lord. That was not a lullaby to put you to sleep. And I saw some of you with your eyes closed, meditating on those words. Now open them back up. It's time for preaching, all right? So not time for a nap. But I appreciate the song. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Take your Bible, if you would. Genesis chapter 6 is where we're going to be this morning. Genesis chapter 6. And if you're visiting with us, we're spending a lot of time this month, in the month of April, preaching, teaching on family matters. And last week I looked at the first family. This week, what I'd like to do is look at another family in the Bible, and we'll find them in Genesis chapter 6. And this is the family of Noah. Now, let me just say this today. The story that we're going to look at, almost everybody, if they don't know much about the Bible, normally they know something about Noah and the ark, don't they? Okay, normally that's a story. And listen, all we ever think about a lot of times when we think about Noah is the ark. I don't want to focus necessarily on the ark. I want to focus on his family. Because I want you to think about something. Do you know something? There had to be something special about this man to make his family get on, to invite them to get on the ark to begin with. Something was unique here about this family that God used and God called out. And I want to read about it just for a few moments. this morning. Genesis chapter 6, if you'll stand with me, we're going to begin reading in verse number 5. We're going to read down through verse number 9. Genesis 6, verse number 5. Now, let me just say quickly, before I go any further, folks, there's over 1,500 years now have passed since Adam to the flood. Long time has passed. And you say, well, what's the condition of the earth? Totally messed up. Totally chaotic. Matter of fact, the scripture says that the imagination of man at this time is wicked. We'll read it. Look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, listen now, was only evil. How long? Continually. That means that every thought was evil. His purpose was evil. His actions were evil. Everything about him was lawless at this time. Look on. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now let me stop and say this. You know what? Sin grieves God. I said sin grieves God. And I want to say also that a backslidden life grieves God as well. A disobedient spirit grieves God. A non-compliance to the Word of God, that grieves God. And he said, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made man, or made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now wait a minute, I thought we just read here that the thought of his heart, man's heart, was evil continually. Now here's what I hear all the time. Well, preacher, you don't understand. You got to understand, we got to make some exceptions to the family. We got to kind of conform because the world is so wicked today, it's hard to raise a good family today. You know what I have to say to that? Baloney. The only reason it's hard to raise a good family in America today in 2012 is because we don't want to. And I think Dr. Reed hit on it in Sunday school. The problem is pride. The problem is we're so interested in what we want and our little part-time things that we like to get involved in that we don't have time today for a marriage. We don't have time to cultivate relationships. And you know what happens? What's going to happen? The same thing that's going to happen in your family is happen in families. You're not going to be the exception to the rule. You're not going to violate the Word of God and be the exception to the rule. You will pay the price if you don't do the job. Then look, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, by the way, not everybody was doing it. He wasn't, right? That little thing, well, preacher, you got to understand everybody's doing it. Well, this guy didn't. And listen, he was the only, did you notice he was the only guy not doing it? Everybody else was lawless. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I think there's something to be said about that verse right there. And then skip over, if you would, to chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So don't tell me that you can't have a proper home and raise a proper family for God and be God-honoring today because Noah did it and he was in a much worse situation than we're in today. Much worse situation. And he was able to do it. You say, what's the keys? I think we're going to find them. What the key to a good home was. And I want to talk to you today about family trust. Family trust. Father, bless us now. If you would and meet with us, oh, Spirit of God, convict us, I pray, about our homes, about our marriages, about our children, about our presentation as far as our life, our home before the Lord. And Father, I ask today, please, would you move in such a way? There's some family members today, under the sound of my voice, they need Christ in their heart. They need to have a born-again experience with Jesus. And Lord, that's the beginning point. And then there's so much more to participate in the Christian life after that. And we're going to look at a family of a dear servant of yours and the trust that existed in this home. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Family trust, confidence, care, reliance. Now, church, what I want to do today is I want to take a look at a very familiar story to bring home to some a very unfamiliar truth. Now, I want to say, first of all, that Noah is normally associated, when we hear the story of Noah, normally associated with the ark, but it's not the ark I want to focus on. It's the family of Noah that I want to focus on this morning. It's the incredible trust that his family had while God was working in lives. Now, I want to say this to you. I think today that if we're going to focus on the trust and what existed in the family, I think in order for us to get a clear picture of Noah's family, we need to get acquainted and get a clear picture of Noah. Because Noah mirrored, or his family mirrored him. And yet the scripture's very plain, if you'll go back and take a look at it, in verse number 9, it's or verse number 8, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're talking about in the midst of a perverse world at this time. Man was as wicked as he's ever been. Man is as bad as he's ever been. I'm talking about immorality, no moral values, no principles, no ethics. If somebody wanted something, they just took it. If somebody didn't like you, they just beat you up. If somebody didn't care for you, they might have drug you off and put cement shoes on you and tossed you in the river. That's how bad it was. And yet here's a man that found grace in the eyes of God. Here's a man that was able to stand up in the face of immorality and face of a perverse nation. Now folks, listen, I don't know if you've looked around lately. We're in the midst of a perverse nation. We're in the midst of a perverse society. And I get so tired of people saying, "Preacher, we just can't raise a family for God in the environment that we're in today." The only reason you can't is because you're not going by the book. The only reason that you're thinking it's impossible is because we're not following the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God. And by the way, did you notice Noah did it and he didn't even have a complete canon of Scriptures? He didn't have all of this that we have today. Now, I want to look at Noah for just a moment here, and I think we can get some idea of what direction his family went when we look at him. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9. Did you notice it says that Noah was a just man? He lived by principles. Now stop and let me say something here. Do you understand he had to choose to live this way? Because nobody else around him was choosing this lifestyle. Nobody else around him was choosing to live the principled life, the ethical life. Nobody. He was the only guy. He had to make a choice. And can I say to you this morning, you know what it is? You know what it's all about? It's about your choice. It's about a choice of whether we're going to raise a family for God and live for God, or a choice not to. Noah decided, you know what, I'm not living like a bunch of these perverts around here. I'm not living this type of lifestyle. By the way, you know why I think so? I think he looked around and he thought, man, you know what, this is leading to destruction. This kind of lifestyle is leading to an immoral life. And he said, I know this is not pleasing God. You see, Noah was a just man. He lived by principles. I believe he was an abiding citizen, a law-abiding citizen. I believe he was a man that respected other people. Listen, I don't see anywhere where Noah went around and he got in somebody's face and says, listen, you know what? You're going to die and go to hell. Now, you know what Noah did? Noah said, you know what? I'm going to live for God. If you don't want to live for God, that's your choice. But God's already told me there's some bad things going to happen. And these bad things you can either avoid by following the Lord, or you can be a part of if you don't want to follow the Lord. Noah was a just man. Let me stop and say this right here. God would never have given or trusted Noah with the project of the ark if he hadn't already been practicing these ways before the flood ever came. You see, Noah was already practicing this lifestyle before God ever came to him. He was already practicing a separated, consecrated life. Noah was a just man. Notice what else it said about Noah. He was not only a just man, did you notice it said, and perfect in his generation. Let me stop for those of you that may be new to the Bible and say this. When the scripture right here says Noah was a perfect man, didn't mean that he was perfect in the sense of faultlessness or sinlessness. It just meant that he was perfect in the sense of that he lived a balanced life. He understood what God expected. And did you notice? Skip down to verse number 32. When God gave him the instructions about the ark, notice in verse 32, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. Listen to, so did he. Instructions? He just did it. But wait a minute, he had that attitude before God ever gave him the instruction about an ark. He was a perfect man. He was a balanced man in his life. He understood right. He understood wrong. He chose right over wrong. Sometimes today, I'm not sure that too many here under the sound of my voice are real interested in choosing right over wrong. Because let me tell you what happens. What happens is that wrong looks so enticing for the moment, and most of us live only for the moment. We do not live for the future. We do not live for what's on down the road. We live for what's right now. Noah had a balanced life. He did that which was right. He accepted his responsibilities and performed those responsibilities. How would you like the responsibility of building an ark? By the way, did you notice, I don't find anywhere in here where God says, listen, I want you to build an ark. Oh, by the way, if you'll go over here at such and such place, there's a big old X marked on the ground. Dig it up. All the tools to build that ark are buried there. He did, as far as I can tell, he didn't give him the tools. He just said, here's your ark. Get it done, brother. And you know what I'm stuck on Moses this morning. You know what Noah did? The scripture said, so did he. See, what we want God to do, we want God's in his instructions. We sit here and say, okay, Lord, I understand what the Bible says. Now give me the tools to do it. Where are they? Come on, help me out, God. He says, no. You've already got everything that you need. You say, where is it? It's confined in this book. God's already given you the instructions of how to have a happy home, how to have a happy marriage, how to have good kids and raise kids for the glory of God. You see, Noah was a perfect man. He was a balanced man. Notice what else. It says not only was he a just man, perfect man. Oh, I think this is the key. And Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Now listen, don't turn there. You can just write down the reference of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Won't you listen? That in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, Peter not only called him a righteous man, he said he was a preacher of righteousness. Now wait a minute, we have revealed here that Noah walked with God. God doesn't reveal right here that he was a preacher. You have to go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and Peter's the one that called him a preacher of righteousness. So it tells me that not only at the same time that he's building an ark, you know what he's doing? He's preaching. You know what he's doing? He's preaching, trying to tell people, listen, the greatest life is to be a believer. The greatest life, the most wonderful life in all the world is the life of a believer. You say, how many people believed him? Seven. Seven people believed him. So who were they? His wife, glory to God. His three sons, glory to God, and their three wives. You know how many converts he had? 120 years of preaching and building? Seven. And here's what we expect. We expect to go out into the world right now, stand on the street corner, and listen, I'm all for it. I'll hold signs up. I'll preach. I'll do it. But here's what we expect to hold a sign up, and 500 people fall on their face before God and say, listen, what must I do to be saved? Wasn't that way in Noah's day? Listen, the only people that Noah convinced was his own family. That's it. And I'm talking about his immediate family. Now you say, wait a minute, how did Noah know to walk with God? Well, he had a pretty good pedigree. Did you hear me? I said he had a pretty good pedigree. His dad's name was Lamech. His grandfather's name was Methuselah. Anybody remember that name? 969 years. That's quite a life. Quite a long time to live. And yet his grandfather was Methuselah. And then you go on to his great-grandfather, and you'll have to find him back in Genesis 5. Turn there for just a moment. Genesis 5, verse 24. Here's Noah's great-grandfather. His name was Enoch. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. Stop, time out, commercial. How do you think Noah knew how to walk with God? I'll tell you how he knew. Because great-granddad taught granddad. Granddad taught dad. Dad taught son. I said, amen. That's how it's supposed to work. So listen, if you're a grandparent here today, you still have influence. You still have influence. You say, how can I do it? What is my part? Listen, your part is to teach those grandkids. Love them. Set an example for them. The reason Noah knew how to walk with God is because Daddy did, Methuselah did, and great-grandfather Enoch did. That's how he learned all this. He had a pretty good pedigree. Let me tell you something. Some of you kids that are raised up in church, you got a pretty good pedigree. Now, you're going to make a choice is what you're going to do. You're going to choose to either follow that pedigree, you're going to either follow that instructions or not follow that instructions. If you follow that instructions, I promise you, you'll be like the sons of Noah. If you don't, you'll be like the people on the outside. Now, listen. He walked with God. Normally, you know, when you walk with somebody, you walk with them because you like them. Right? Most of you don't walk with people you don't like. You walk with people you like. Am I right? Come on, help me out now. You're quiet here. Did the song get you? Huh? What I'm saying is you walk with people you like, right? I think the reason that Noah not only walked with God just for the sake of walking, he walked with God because he liked God. He loved God. God had showed favor down through his family pedigree, through his family history, down through his family tree. He walked with God because he loved God. He liked God. Hey, you also walk with people because you like to talk and listen, right? Most people you see walking and running out here, most people are not walking and running by themselves. We got an older couple that lives right down the street from us every morning. Every morning. They're up, I mean, before the sun rises, and they're always walking. And they walk together because they like each other. They walk together, and you know when they're walking, guess what they're doing? They're talking. And they're listening. And so Noah walked with God, not only because he loved God and liked God, he talked to him and he listened. Listen, most of our problem is we talk too much. We like to do all the talking, we want God to do all the listening. And then God says, wait a minute, just time out here a minute. I need to talk. You say, what? Time out, I'm out of time. Sorry, Lord, I've already prayed my 30 seconds today. I'm being facetious, but you understand that's about all the time we give God to say something. We give him 30 seconds. Lord, say everything you want in a minute, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, because that's all the time I got today. And then we expect our homes to turn out right. We expect our kids to turn out right. Come on now, amen. You can amen right there. It's all right. I told you a lot of things about the family. Sometimes these things are going to sting a little bit, but it's okay. We just need to be honest. See, but part of our problem is we're not honest about our marriage. We're not honest about our family. We're not honest about the condition of our children. We're not honest about our relationship with God. And because we're not honest, we become prideful. And Noah walked with God because he liked God. He loved God. He talked. He listened. You know why else you walk? You walk to exercise. Right? That's why these people walking all over the place. They're exercising. They're walking. I always love the ones that are walking, you know, and they got the deal on their arm. They're walking, they're watching. I like to drive slow to watch, see if they're going to walk into a stop sign or walk into something, because they're always looking at their watch, you know. Now, what I'm saying is people walk because they want to exercise. You know why we walk with God? You know why Noah walked with God? Because he needed to exercise his spirit, not his physical body. He needed to exercise his faith. He needed to exercise his trust. Listen now. If Noah had not taken the initiative to walk with God, he would have been part of the destruction. You hear me? If he had not walked with God, he'd have been just like everybody else. God would have wiped the slate clean and started totally over. But because he walked with God, he wasn't part of the destruction. Listen, he was part of the solution. He was part of the solution. He had the opportunity that no one else had had. You see, it was Noah's just life, his perfect life, his spiritual life that led to the deliverance of his own family. So see, in order to get to know a person's family and get to know a family, you need to look at the head of the family. And that's the reason it was important for us to look at Noah, a just man, a perfect man, a man that walked with God. And you know what? It reflected on his family. Listen, and eventually saved his family. Eventually saved his family. Now, it was the unjust and the unspiritual life that led all the other families to destruction. Listen, and an eternity without God in hell. All the rest of them died. Why? Obviously no spirituality, obviously no walk with God, and they all died. Listen, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he had an obedient and compliant spirit. He didn't find grace in the eyes of God because he was sinless or anything special. He found grace because he was obedient. He was compliant. He followed the rules. Well, with that said, I've got just a few minutes. I want to share some things about Noah's family and talk to you about family trust. First of all, they loved and trusted one another. They loved and trusted one another. Now, go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, go back, if you would, to Genesis 6 for just a moment. Because, listen now, by this time, God had already pronounced the end, had he not? He says, man is wicked. By the time the ark was built, God had already pronounced, you know what, he's desperately wicked. He is wicked continually. The imaginations of his heart are wicked all the time. His purposes, his actions, God, man has absolutely is going down a road of destruction. God had already pronounced the end. And if you look in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And listen, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now folks, listen, out in the side of your Bible, you need to write two words. First of all, you need to write the word long-suffering. Then you need to write the word grace. Because you know what, God had said, listen, you know what? Man is wicked. I'm going to destroy him. He repented to me that I ever made him. He said, I'm going to destroy the world, but not for 120 years. He said, well, what, if God was that upset with man, why didn't he just go ahead and mop it up right then? Listen, it's called grace, folks. Listen, that's the reason that some of us ought to shout this morning, because God's extended grace and has been long-suffering to you. Why didn't he just go ahead and take you out a long time ago? The first time you spit in his face. The first time you rejected the gospel. He said, okay, that's it. Dead. No. You know why? Because of the long-suffering of God and the grace of God. And he's extended. Listen, we're talking about a wicked society, a vile society. And God says, you know what? Got 120 years to repent. 120 years is what you have. Now listen carefully. Noah's family loved and trusted him. I'm talking about Noah, because of who he was and his walk with God. Now, stop. Let's think about this just a minute. God comes to Noah and says, listen, I'm going to destroy the world by flood. I want you to build this boat. Stop. Had it rained up to this time? What do we need a boat for then? Come on, help me out. It's not a trick question. You see the rain outside here, Miss Martha? Hadn't done that before. And the thing about it is where Noah was located. Y'all just bear with me. If I call him Moses, just shake your head. All right? You understand. Now listen, where Noah was, folks, this wasn't like on the seashore of Galilee. He was in the desert, miles away from the ocean. God says, build me an ark. Build me a boat. Where are you going to build it, Lord? Right here. Right here. Wait a minute. This is a desert. He said, I know. It won't be for long, though. Because 120 years, it's going to be the bottom of the sea. And listen, Noah, because his family trusted him, I don't find anywhere, if you do, please let me know. I hadn't found it yet. I don't find where his wife rebelled, his sons rebelled, listen, or their wives rebelled against him. You know what I think? I think they saw the walk of daddy. That's what I think they saw. I think they understood he was a balanced man, a just man, a perfect man. Listen, he had a pedigree. He had some roots. And so therefore, because his love for God, his walk with God, you know what the family did? The family pitched in and trusted daddy. But wait a minute. Noah loved and trusted his family to help because of what he had taught them. He had confidence. You know what? I'm going to reveal the plan to my sons, and they're going to help me get this boat built. Now listen, I wonder how many daddies today could say, I'm going to go to my children and I'm going to reveal the plan of God for my children, and they're going to drop everything and follow me. Come on, help me. You understand what I'm saying? You see, what happens today, we have so little confidence in our own family and trust that, listen, if God did call somebody to preach, or God did call to the mission field, and he sat his family down and said, listen, I know you're not going to understand this, but God's called me to go to a foreign field and stuff, and I need y'all support. I wonder how many say, oh, Daddy, praise God, we'll follow you anywhere. They'd say, you know what, you're going by yourself, big boy. And listen, Noah's family could have done that, but the best I can tell, listen, they didn't. I don't find anywhere where mama rebelled, or the sons, or their wives rebelled. Why? Because they love and trusted one another. Listen, there had to be some major family unity going on here to build this boat, and it spanned 120 years. Now listen, guys, how many of you, if you had a project, you got home on Monday from work, your wife had a to-do list, honey-do list, you know? And she pulled that list out and gave it to you. And you looked at it on there. And it says, all of these things, honey, will take you approximately 120 years to get them all done. First of all, you don't have enough life to get them all done. You say, well, they didn't either. Well, the problem here that we have is that people were living at an average at this time to 857 years old. There's plenty of time to get the job done, right? So 120 years, you know what that was for most of us? That's probably like a decade, 10 years, 120 years. And 120 years they spent preaching and building the ark, this giant boat in the middle of the desert, long away from any type of water, long away from any type of seashore. You know why they did it? Because not only did they love God, they loved and trusted their daddy. Because he walked with God. Listen, there had to be an incredible faith in the Lord's word to build a boat and prepare for rain when it had never done this before. Never done it before. So listen, all they had to go on is the word of God. That's all they had. Now I think somewhere, if I look real close in the Bible, I think we'll find their word is called faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When God told him to build the ark, did he give him the tools to do it? Did he say, hey, listen, right down the road here, I've already got everything set there. The wood's already been cut to size. Everything that you need is there. All you got to do is go pick it up. All you got to do is get on your phone, go ahead, and they'll have it at will call for you. It'll be all ready for you. Folks, do you understand that he had to probably make his own tools? He had to cut his own wood. He had to haul everything. Now you understand why it took him 120 years? Hey, everything wasn't just laying at his feet, and yet here today, listen to me, what is our excuse? We have the Word of God. We have all the tools, all the instructions, all the blueprints. Noah didn't have any of that. But he got the job done. He got the job done. You see, because they trusted one another. Faith. Keep in mind that Noah's sons, here's what you got to keep in mind. Noah's sons married wives from families that would eventually be destroyed in the flood. So you say, well, where are you getting at right there, preacher? Think about the power of spiritual influence that Noah had on his sons, because obviously his sons had to teach their wives to trust God also, right? Where'd they get that from? Got that from daddy. Do you see now, in order for us to look at the family, we got to look back at Noah, because Noah, his family mirrored him. Here's the second thing I notice. Not only did they trust and love one another, next, they trusted God's word. Look at Genesis 7 real quick. Genesis 7 and verse 13. Now, stop and think about this. It's one thing to build the ark, right? Still no rain. So they get this gigantic boat finished. He does everything that God tells him to do. And then God says, now get in it. You mean all these animals? Get in it. Oh, by the way, the best I can tell, door's still wide open, right? Still had people that for 120 years saw the boat building. They saw Noah and his sons' labor and their wives' labor. You see, they trusted God's word. They not only built the ark, but they got in the ark as God told them to. Now look, if you would, Genesis 7, verse 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. Drop down to verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now listen carefully. They trusted God's word. And here's what you got to understand. First of all, the ark's a picture of salvation. The ark's a picture of Jesus Christ. Listen, what happened is he built this ark, and now God says, man, you did a good job. You did it exactly like I told you to. Now get in it. Now listen, you understand, it wasn't Noah trusting his own workmanship? You hear me? It wasn't Noah trusting his own work. He said, wait a minute, he built the ark. Stop just a minute. Who told him to build it? Who told him how to build it and what to pitch the cracks with? The Lord told him how to do that, right? So listen, when he got on the ark, he wasn't getting on with his own workmanship in mind, saying, my works will sustain me. No, he had a plan. He had directions from God. He had all the shape, the sizes done. He put it all together. When he got on, he wasn't getting on depending on his workmanship. He was getting on depending on the plan and the Word of God. So when he got inside the ark and he stood around, he didn't say, and you know what? He's looking around and saying, glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, they got inside this. They built it. But then he said, get in it. Get in it. A couple things I want you to know is, first of all, there was only one way to be saved from the flood. Did you hear me? I said there's only one way to be saved from the flood. You say, what was the way? The ark. You're either in it, or, excuse my Mississippi vernacular, or you ain't. You're either this morning either born again or you're not. You're either on the ark or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. And just as there was only one escape from the flood, there's only one escape from hell. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by, help me out now, but by who? But by me. One way. You either get on or you don't. If you get on, you can be saved. If you don't get on, you die. Without God and in eternity in hell. There was only one way to be saved from the flood. Listen, all men had an equal opportunity to get on board. Hey, listen, if they'd have wanted to, you think God had said, no, you're not getting on here. I can see some of them trying to hide, you know, in the some of these animals and stuff getting on. I can see some of them trying to hide. Get on one of them, ride him in. Listen, they could have gotten on, Brother Swin, any way that they'd have wanted to. They chose not to. Stinking animals had more sense than people did. They got on board. The door was open. They could have gotten on. You say, oh, no, preacher, just hold on there just a minute. If everybody got on, wouldn't have been room enough. Well, let me ask you this. Did God already know who was going to get on? Then there was enough room. Does God already know who's going to be saved? Yeah. So guess what? When we get to heaven, there's going to be enough room? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely there's going to be enough room. You see, all men had equal opportunity. It was a free will choice not to do so. Listen to this. There was plenty of room for all who wanted to get on board. There's plenty of room. Go check my measurements out here, all right? A boat, a football field and a half long, over 50 foot wide, and over 40 foot tall, there's room. You know how many people you can pack in that? Hey, you see the thing? Listen, folks. You go down here to this Cowboy Stadium, you know how many people think packing that thing? You say, oh, they can only sit 80-some times because that's how many seats. Well, tell Jerry Jones that. Because last time I checked, in some of these games, been over 100,000 people. How'd they get them all in there? They found room. You know what? There was enough room on the ark for anybody that wanted to get on. Can I say to you today, there's enough room at the cross for anybody that wants to come. There's enough room for salvation because of the shed blood of Christ. Good enough for anybody that wants to come this morning. All you got to do is want to come. Now listen, God chose when the door was going to be shut. Noah had no say in when the door was shut. None. Wait a minute, what did God tell him to do? Get where? Get on. Did he get on? Yes, he did. Who got on with him? His family. He didn't have anything to do to say about when the door was going to be shut. That was in the total hand of God. Now listen, I think God left the door open and showed his grace once again. I think the God of heaven was trying to show grace, his long suffering. Listen, they got in the ark in spite of criticism and mocking. You think there might have been some people making fun of Noah? You see, I'm sure that he heard something like, that boat's going to sink. Even if it did flood, it's going to sink. You ain't ever built no boat before. I'm sure he heard mocking and criticism, like some of you here after you get saved. You ain't ever been a Christian before. How are you going to live that Christian life? Well, the thing about it is, you can't live it. How about let God live it through you? See, our biggest problem is we try to live the Christian life instead of let the Holy Spirit live through us. I'm sure he heard, you know what, that boat's going to sink. He may have heard something like this. Hey, you know what, there's other ways to be saved. We ain't got to get on your boat. Oh, we'll have time. If it actually does flood, we'll have time. We'll build our own boat. Best I can tell, none of them had time. I'm sure that some of them said, your ark's not the only way. If you know what, if it does, which it's not going to, but if it does, we'll find another way. We'll find a way to live. We'll just swim. Is that right? You're going to swim for over a year? Listen, most of us can't swim for a minute. How are you going to stay afloat for a year? How are you going to tread water for a year? Plus, if that is, probably them great white sharks that were lurking down the deep come up and have brunch. You see, what I'm saying is they got on the ark in spite of criticism and mocking. Listen to me. They got on the ark strictly by faith. All they had was the Word of God. That's all they had. They got on, had never seen rain. They just got on. And by the way, Noah's wife got on, his three sons and their wives got on. All they had was a testimony of a husband and a father. When Noah got on, they said, listen, Daddy's walked with God all these years. He's never forsaken us. He's never led us astray. We're following him. And they got on. They had nothing to lose and life to gain. Now listen to this. They got in the ark even though some of their own family and friends refused to get on. Now stop and think about this just a minute. Noah had a wife. Where'd he get her? Now I doubt very seriously, as best I can tell, I doubt very seriously he married his sister. Okay, his three sons, he had three boys. Where'd he get their wives? I'll tell you where they got them. They got them from the people that died and drowned. That's where they got them from. Well, wait a minute. How did their philosophy change? How did their ideology change? How did their view of faith and trust change? It goes all the way back to Daddy. Because he taught those boys how to have faith and trust God. He taught that wife, he taught Mama how to love and trust God. Listen, they got on the ark even though some of their own family and friends refused to. Listen, Noah had other relatives, I'm sure. Noah's wife, I'm sure, had family. Noah's sons' wives, I'm sure, had family and friends. Now, you listen to me. Let me stop and say this, and I got to stop. Daddies, you may think that you're not doing a whole lot in your home. You think you may not be influencing, but you listen to me. You've done a great job in your life if you've influenced your own family and make sure that everybody in your family is a born-again child of God. Listen, all the rest of the world died and drowned that flood, but Noah got his family. He got his family on board. You see, can you imagine as God, and listen, I don't know if God took the door and slammed the thing shut. I don't think it happened that way. I like to kind of view it this way. I like to kind of view it that everybody was on, the animals on, Noah and his family were on. And I just wonder, church, I just wonder if maybe they all walked to the entrance of the door and stood at the door looking out there and all those people laughing, mocking, making fun. Some of them maybe cousins, uncles, aunts. Some of Noah's sons' wives, maybe it was their own parents. Maybe their brothers and sisters saying, you know what, I knew he was a jerk the day you married him. You hear me? I wonder if they were standing at the door and all of a sudden the door, without anybody, just started going, and everybody's like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? And the door, Noah and his family are standing at the door. I wonder if they had tears running down their face. I wonder if some of those wives were saying, Daddy, Mama, change your mind. Change your mind. And they said,
I told you he was a jerk. We'll never condone your marriage. We'll never. But
and the door began to continue to close. And I wonder if some of them ran to the cracks in there and began to try to look there. Please! Change your mind! And then the door went. And when God shut the door, no man can open it. Once the door was shut, all was lost on the outside. It was over. Now the last thought, I'm not going to develop this, I'm just going to give it to you real quick. I said they loved and trusted one another, they trusted God's word. Here's the last thing, you can just chew on this afternoon. They experienced, when they were on the ark, they experienced the favor of God. They were provided for. This is the best I can tell from Scripture. They were on that ark at least minimum a year. Minimum a year. With all these animals. God fed them. God took care of them. By the way, not just on the inside. He protected them from the waters from the outside. He protected them from the influence of the world. Listen, you say, I wonder, preacher, when they got on there and God shut the door, could they hear the screaming? Could they hear the yelling? Could they hear the people clawing at the boat? Maybe. Let me tell you something. When you're inside, when you get saved, that's the wonderful thing. The Scripture says that we are put in Christ. And they experienced the favor of God. You see, the family was safe and protected. The family, listen, by the way, their problems started when they got off the ark. Once God and all of the water had receded, they got off the ark, that's when a lot of their problems started. You ever thought about after Noah and his family got off the ark, I wonder how many times they revisited the ark. I wonder how many times that Noah climbed back on that ark and just kind of walked around. Just said, man, isn't God good? I wonder how many times he climbed back on the ark and just looked around and thought, man, there's no way I could have done this by myself. I wonder how many times he got his son and said, boys, I'm going to just take you. Just remind you, look what God did. And looked at those boys and said, I want to thank you for trusting your daddy. I want to thank you for just trusting me. You know what? I think after that door shut and the waters began to flow and the great deeps begin to break up, I wonder if they looked at Dad and grabbed a hold of him and cried on his shoulder and said, Daddy, thank you. Thank you for walking with God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us about trust and truth. Now, here's the finish. The finish is this. Some of you here this morning, you've got family members that, listen, they're outside the ark this morning. And folks, listen, the coming of Jesus is right around the corner. The door may begin to close. And they have just a short opportunity to get on board. If you're a child of God this morning, you're a Christian home this morning, you know what? Don't get off. Stay in the faith. Stay serving God. Stay in the church where these people right here can help you and love you and promote what's going on in your life, in your Christian life, and help you accomplish your goals. Don't get off. Stay in the safety. There's where you're going to find favor. Would you bow your heads for just a moment this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. Who can say, preacher, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. No question about it. Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, please have your way in this invitation time. Thank you for the attention of these folks. And I ask you, Lord, please, would you open our heart and our spirit to your word this morning? And we so desperately want to please you. So desperately, Lord, this morning, we want to do everything we can to uplift the name of Christ. And Father, yet there are homes this morning that are so disjointed, so disillusioned. There's homes this morning, Lord, they're so confused about family trust and just the entities that make up a good home. And yet the key we found in a man named Noah, a just man, a perfect man, but a man who walked with God. Oh, my desire is that daddies walk with God, that mamas walk with God, so that children can walk with God. Would you hear our cry this morning for our homes, for our lives? Please have your way now. Convict where conviction needs to take place. I'm going to ask you to keep your head bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking but me. I wonder if there might be someone here this morning that would say, preacher, I've got to be honest. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a child of God. I can't go back and put my finger on a time that I've been truly, sincerely born again. If I died today, preacher, I have some doubt whether heaven's my home or I need prayer. And you'd be honest. Hey, be honest. We're in church. You say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Don't you slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. Preacher, I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I want to go. It's not that I don't want to. I just don't know. I have some doubts about it. Just go ahead and slip your hand up. And so you say, so I can see it. And you can slip it right back down. Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. Anyone like that? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody? All right, maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm already saved. Never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. Had never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. Don't you slip your hand way up high. I said, that's me. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I've already been saved. Never been baptized. Anybody like that? Just slip it up and I'll pray for you. All right? God bless you. And you. And you. God bless you. All right? Anybody will join these two? All right? Then maybe you're here this morning. And you say, preacher, our home. Maybe there's not a lot of trust there. Maybe your home doesn't have a daddy that walks with God. Maybe your home is not Christ-oriented this morning. You're the leader of your home. Whether you're a single parent or whether you're a father and the head of your home this morning, you say, our home, preacher, is not, it's not what it needs to be in that area. And we need prayer. So would you pray for us this morning? Won't you slip your hand up and say, that's me. Pray for our home. Pray for our home. God bless you. And you, and you, and you, and you. Okay? God bless you. God bless you. One last thing. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm a visitor. Please pray with me. I'm seeking God's will about a place to serve. Would you pray for me? I need a place I can call a church home. Would you pray for me that God will give me direction? Won't you slip your hand up and say, that's me. You slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. And you. All right? And you. God bless. Anybody else? We'll join these three or four. All right, then, Father, I'm going to ask you to take control of this invitation. Those that need to be saved, I pray they would come. Those that need to be baptized, I pray that they would come. And I pray, Lord God, that today would be a new beginning in their lives. Some raised their hands, said their homes need to be adjusted. And, Father, it's never going to be adjusted if they don't come down as a family and rededicate and recommit to trusting one another, loving one another, and following the Word of God. Father, the safest place to be is in the Christian home. The safest place to be is in Jesus Christ. Please, those that know not Christ, come. If people have been playing games with their salvation, they need to come and settle it today. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you. And thank you for all your kindness and love in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. And as he does, listen, if you slipped your hand up, you come. This is your opportunity. Come on, come on, come on. Daddies, you ought to be getting your family, take your family by the hand and lead them down here this morning to come and rededicate your home to Christ. Would you come? Would you come? Come on, come on. If you slipped your hand up, say, that's me. That's me. You said, I'm saved, preacher, never been baptized. You come on. Come on, this is your opportunity. Listen, don't put it off anymore. I prayed for you. Would you come? Would you come? Come on, come on. This may be your last opportunity. It may be your last opportunity. You come. Come on. You say, preacher, my home's in a mess. Well, listen, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. It's a choice. It's a choice. Get your home turned around for Christ.